Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Somebody say, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Amen. We shall not want, we shall not lack, because Jesus is our Lord. He is our good shepherd. And the reason why we will not lack, if he's your shepherd, is because through him, you are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. Remember, we were talking about that last time. Talking about the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 declares, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We are righteous. No longer are we wrong with God. We're not on God's bad side any longer. We are no longer under judgment. We are now righteous. We are in right standing with him. God is pleased with us because we have believed in his son, Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus has made us righteous in the Father's sight by paying for our sins, by going to the cross, becoming our unrighteousness, and giving us his perfect righteousness. And you think about the kind of relationship Jesus had with the Father. He had an amazing relationship with the Father. Whatever he asked from the Father, he would receive it. You know, I was just thinking about how going to the cross, Jesus said, I could now call for a legion of angels to come and rescue me. And my Father would give them to me. Whatever I want, I can receive from him. Why? Because I am right in his sight. I'm in right relationship with him. I am not wrong in God's sight. And just like Jesus, you and I now have that kind of relationship with God. We have that kind of access to him. We can have that kind of boldness that Jesus walked in. What made Jesus so bold? He was righteous. What enabled Jesus to have that kind of relationship with the Father? He was righteous. That's why. Why was he able to ask for anything he wanted and the Father would give it to him? Because he was righteous. That's why. Because he was righteous. And now everything he was while he was here on the earth, we now are. Because he gave us his righteousness. And he took our sinfulness. So now we are in the same place that Jesus was in when he walked the earth. We have that same relationship with the Father. God is our Father. And through the blood of Jesus, not through our own works of righteousness, the Bible says your righteousness, your self-righteousness, is as filthy rags. We're not talking about self-righteousness. We're not talking about our works. We're talking about the work that Jesus did for us by going to the cross, the work of redemption that he did in our lives. He has made us his righteousness. And as we understand this, we will become more and more bold in prayer and in life, because the righteous are as bold as a lion. They are as bold as a lion. Have you know lions are pretty bold? They are the king of the jungle. And so are we. We are the kings and priests of this world. We are rulers in this life. No longer should we be walking around with a sin consciousness. We need to have a righteousness consciousness. And as we do, we'll approach him more boldly. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16. We come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Even if we've missed it according to the flesh, we still come boldly because we still are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We may have missed it in the flesh, but in Christ, we are righteous. And we're not coming to God in the flesh. We're coming in faith. We're coming in faith that we are in Christ. See, His word defines us. His righteousness defines us. We need to see ourselves righteous all the time. It'll affect every area of our life. It'll give us such great boldness in life. It will cause us to rule and reign in life. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned. One man's offense, who's that talking about? That's talking about Adam, right? The very beginning. Because of his offense, because of his sin, death has reigned, ruled over people's lives. Death reigned through one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. I mean, you think about it, through Adam's sin, death has ruled the world. But now, through Jesus, those who have received this gift of righteousness, they rule the world. We are the rulers. Death no longer rules us. Death no longer tells us how it's going to go for us. We don't fear death. We rule over death. The righteous reign in life. Are you reigning? See, we got to see if we walk around with a righteousness consciousness, we're going to find ourselves reigning. We're going to find ourselves ruling in life. We're going to find ourselves wearing a nice crown on our head, just like a king would wear. The Bible actually says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 8, it says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. The crown of what? See, those who have this righteousness reign. Reign. And there's a literal crown. There is a literal crown for the righteous. He says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. What's he saying there? He's saying, because I have reigned in life, walking in the right, living out the righteousness of God, when I leave this place, there's a crown of righteousness I'm going to be wearing. Those that reign in life, that's this life right now, will receive a crown of righteousness when they get over to the other side. Why? Because you've been living like a ruler. So when the ruler comes to heaven, give him a crown. You've been ruling like a king. You've been ruling in life. I mean, and was Paul ruling in life? You know, I just think about, you know, there were so many things, but I just always come back to the viper that reached out and bit him and clung to him, started injecting all kinds of poisonous venom into his bloodstream. And the natives on the island knew exactly what kind of viper that was, and they said, no doubt this man's a murderer, and they're waiting for him to swell up and keel over and die. But what did he do? He shook it off. Why? He's the righteousness of God. He reigns. Death don't reign. Death don't reign here. Death don't reign here. I reign. I reign in righteousness. I reign in righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God. Death, you don't rule me anymore. Snake, you don't rule me anymore. Devils don't rule me anymore. I rule. Why? Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is why Jesus was able to do the things he did. This is why he walked in the kind of power and authority that he walked in, is because he had no sin consciousness. He did not go around thinking about sin. He walked around thinking about his relationship with the Father, and it was right. It was a good relationship. He was in right standing with Almighty God. God was on his side because he was on the side of God. I mean, it makes you indestructible. It makes you all powerful because God is indestructible and he's all powerful. And you got him. You're one with him because you're the righteousness of God. See, that's why the devil wants to keep you sin conscious. He wants to keep you looking at yourself, judging yourself according to the flesh. Be aware of all the little fleshly mess ups and stumbling. He doesn't want you to see yourself in Christ. He doesn't want to see yourself according to the word of God, according to the spirit of God. He wants to see yourself according to the flesh. Yeah. Keep your focus. Well, look what you said, look what you did, look what you look like, look at all this. And then people walk around inferior. They feel inferior. They feel intimidated. They're unsure. They're full of doubt. They come to God full of doubt and unbelief. They go through life worried about some of the most stupidest things, like a bill. I mean, we're talking about shaking off vipers, man. We're talking about shaking off vipers. And somebody else, LG&E, my internet bill. And people are so afraid of the bill. How are we ever going to get to shaking off the viper? See, we got to get out of this sin consciousness. You got to get out of that, see, because that causes you to feel inferior before God, inferior before your circumstances, inferior before the devil, makes you feel like a victim in life. And this is where the world is. This is where the world is. No matter how much they puff themselves up with pride to make themselves feel better about themselves, underneath all that puff, all that hot air is fear and inferiority. And uncertainty, and doubt, and worry, and unbelief. It's all there. It's all there. But for you and I, who have found the truth, who have discovered the truth in Jesus Christ, and have received the gift of righteousness, there is absolutely no inferiority whatsoever in approaching Almighty God himself. We can come boldly before him. If you can come boldly before him, you are bold, period. There is nothing to be intimidated by, nothing to worry about, nothing to be afraid of. There is no sense of lack. No sense of lack when you understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No sense of lack of money. How many people know Jesus went around and he had no sense of lack of money. Why? Because he was the righteousness of God. That is why. That's the secret. He had no sense of lack of love. Why? Because he was the righteousness of God. That's why. There was no sense of a lack of ability. No sense of a lack of ability. And what does the Bible say to you? As a born-again child of God has been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He says, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, there's no lack of ability. No lack of strength. We got it all. When we understand we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, this is something we need to be meditating on, and we need to get a clearer and clearer picture of it. That we are in right standing with God, and we can approach him as our Father with the same liberty and freedom a child can approach his parent, his natural parent. We need to have that same kind of freedom. That's how Jesus was with the Father. That's how you and I can be now with the Father. We can have that same kind of access to him, that same kind of relationship with him. And when we have that, we reign. We reign in life. We rule in life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Who has a scepter? A king, a ruler, right? Here is a scepter of righteousness. And yes, it's talking about Jesus, of course. He's the Son of God. And your throne, O God, is forever and ever. But how many people know you and I, according to Ephesians, we've been made to sit together with him. We've been made to sit together with him in the heavenly place. We're sitting with him. We're not his footstool. The earth is his footstool. We're not living according to the earth. We're seated in heavenly places far above. Above all principality and power and every name that is named. We're right there seated with him. We're his righteousness. We share his throne. We share his scepter. This is the kind of authority that you and I have in life. That's why he said, those who believe in my name, they will cast out demons. They'll tell demons to go. They'll tell sickness to go. Why? Because they have the authority to reign in life. And why do they have this authority? Because they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, until man is righteous and knows it, Satan reigns over him. Sin and disease are his masters. But the instant a person comes to know that he is the righteousness of God in Christ and knows what that righteousness means, Satan is defeated. As soon as you come into the knowledge of understanding you are the righteousness of God, Satan's done. He's defeated in your life. He's done in your life. Now, he's already done. Jesus finished him 2,000 years ago, but he's still the master over people's lives. Through sin, sickness, disease, all these things. He's still reigning over people's lives. And unfortunately, he's still reigning over most Christians. And yet here they are. They've been made to rule and reign in life because they've been made the righteousness of God. They've been made as Jesus was when Jesus walked the earth. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 John, it says that those who believe in him ought to walk even as he walked. We can walk just like Jesus. Sin, sickness, and disease are not going to be my master. They obey me. Do they obey you? That was so weak. Do they obey you? I think you better let sin, sickness, and disease know it. Because somebody better put it in its place. Because if you don't, it's going to rule over you. We can't allow these things to kick us around anymore. Most Christians are still getting kicked around by sin. Still getting kicked around by sickness. Still getting kicked around by disease. Death comes in and snatches them and takes them away. They can't do a thing about it. Nothing can deliver them in the day of death. That's what it says over in Ecclesiastes. Nobody has any power in the day of death to deliver. Thank God we do. Under the new covenant, we have power. In the day death tries to come and knock on our door. He can huff and puff all he wants. But he can't blow down this mighty fortress that you and I live in Christ Jesus. We are safe and secure. I said we are safe and secure. Because we are the righteousness of God. And that righteousness is protection. It is armor that we wear. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 4. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Notice what he says there. We commend ourselves. I love that. We commend ourselves as ministers of God. Just every once in a while, you need to reach back there and commend yourself. And say, you are the righteousness of God, man. You are right. You are right in the sight of God. Hallelujah. What does that mean? That means you're perfect in the sight of God. Wow. Somebody say, I'm perfect in the sight of God. I'm good looking. I'm right. I'm righteous. That's what you are in Christ. According to the Spirit, that's exactly how you are. You are the righteousness of God. But notice he says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. On the right hand and on the left. When you understand you're the righteousness of God, no weapon formed against you is going to be able to prosper. Now, a lot of folks know that scripture in Isaiah where it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But they don't know the whole verse. They don't know the context that it's in. Did you know it is directly connected to you being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 54. And in verse 17, he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Let's finish it. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. It's because you understand that you have God's righteousness. That's why you're able to stand there and say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And it doesn't matter what kind of accusations you want to throw at me. It doesn't matter what kind of accusations the devil wants to throw at you. You can stand there and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn it. I nullify it. I render it void, empty of all power in Jesus' name. You can't accuse me of anything. I'm the righteousness of God. Wow. We should be going to bed at night in such peace, knowing that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because God's righteousness, it does. It gives us incredible peace. Such peace, such rest for our souls when we understand that we are righteous. Over here in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness. And then look what he connects to it. And peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, when you understand you're righteous, when you are righteousness conscious, you're going to have peace on one side and joy on the other. See, peace and joy are the partners of righteousness. When you understand you're right, what is there to be anxious about? What is there to be worried about? What is there to be scared about? What is there not to have peace about? What can take your peace when you have taken hold of the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Nothing can steal that peace from you. It's incredible peace and incredible joy. Only when righteousness is restored to a person can peace be restored. I'm talking about true peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding as the Bible describes it as. But the Bible says in Isaiah 57, in verse 19, the Lord says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I'll heal him. I'll heal him. Notice healing is connected to peace, and peace is connected to righteousness. Well, we talked about that last Wednesday, 1 Peter 2:24. People, again, another verse of scripture that people half quote. They get the first part of it, you know, the last part of it. By whose stripes you were healed. Whenever it comes to the need of healing, whenever they're dealing with a sickness, Christians have learned to understand that by his stripes they were healed, but they don't get the whole verse. The whole verse in 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. by whose stripes you were healed. So it's in living for righteousness that healing comes. Healing is there. When you understand you're righteous against sickness, disease, death can't rule over you anymore. You rule over it. And you have peace, peace, peace from the Lord. He says, peace, peace to you, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Healing comes with the peace, which is a part of righteousness. He goes on in verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. They have no peace. They have a sense of lack. They have a sense of guilt. They live with a sense of want. It doesn't matter how much money they have, how much power they gain, how much influence they have in the world. These folks are in want. They are desperate. Inquiring minds know all about it. They read the articles. They see the lifestyles of the rich and famous. They go through marriages like toilet paper. I mean, they are just miserable people. They are desperate. They are empty. They are trying to get, to get, to get. They are like the troubled sea, casting up all kinds of dirt, all kinds of messes. And then people go rent it. How sad that is. Thank God that's not us. We're the righteousness of God. We like peace. We look for righteousness. We live for righteousness. That's what we're all about. We're all about righteousness. We're all about righteousness. That's how the Apostle Paul was. He was all about the righteousness of God. Over in Philippians chapter 3. Notice what he said in Philippians 3 and in verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith. What's he saying? He's saying he lives for righteousness. And he has lost, he has suffered the loss of so many things in order to know this righteousness, to lay hold of this right, understanding this righteousness. See, Paul, like us, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but here he's talking about laying hold of the knowledge of this righteousness, the knowledge of it. That's how he starts it off in verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ, and primarily the righteousness that Christ had, that he has given to us. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things, but I count it all as rubbish anyway, that I may gain Christ, the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of his righteousness, this righteousness which is from God by faith. He said, this is what I'm going after, and it's worth losing everything to have, because it is the answer to everything. And when you have it and walk in it, you have everything. Everything is yours. You are master of all. You reign in life. So he's basically saying, pay any price. Give up anything you have to give. Sacrifice whatever you have to sacrifice to get a hold of this righteousness that has gotten a hold of you. Get a hold of what God has given you in Christ Jesus. Get the knowledge of Christ. Get the knowledge of his righteousness. Lay hold of it and walk in it. Because if you can walk in this righteousness by faith, if you can walk in this righteousness consciousness, man, you got victory over everything. because it is the answer to everything. It is the answer to all lack. It is the answer to every worry, to every problem. It heals, it delivers, it brings peace, it raises you up and puts you on top of all the circumstances of life, and you're not a victim of anything or anyone. No weapon formed against you can prosper, and you rule. Righteousness restores quietness and rest to the spirit. We are no longer afraid of bills, no longer afraid of circumstances. Faith rises unconsciously, and we face the most adverse conditions with a sense of superiority. We are masters. And this is right now. This isn't in the sweet by and by when we all get to heaven. A lot of times, people put things off until we get on over into heaven. But it's for us right now in this life. I want to walk in it, don't you? I don't want to miss out on this and walk in inferiority and worry and doubt, struggle through life. And I want to walk victoriously through life. Victoriously through life. Now, understand this. Jesus, he is our example. He's our example to follow, to walk in his footsteps. He struggled. He struggled sometimes with sleep. There were times where he was weary from his journey. There were times where he was thirsty. There were times when he was hungry. Jesus needed some downtime. There were times where he needed to escape and get away from the crowds of people. He needed some downtime, just like you and I. And yet, he was more than a conqueror. He had almighty power available to him. It wasn't of himself. He tells us that time and time again, that it is of the Father. He says, of myself, I could do nothing. He had emptied himself. He had become like you and I. He had become a human being, but he was completely dependent upon the Father. And everything the Father was and had was available to Jesus. So he was a human. He was touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, the Bible tells us. And yet, he had no lack. No lack of ability. No lack of strength to be able to do whatever it is he needed or wanted to do. And it's the same thing with you. Right now, in this world. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you, point to somebody and say, he's talking to you. And you who once, ever say once, were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, enemies of God. You were enemies of God. By wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. He has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, dun, 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 holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are far above accusations. We are far above a reproach. We are the righteousness of God. And he made us that way. And notice, it's all now. It's all now. Remember over there in James, talking about Abraham, James chapter 2, verse 23. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Righteousness will move you from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God. But now you got to get your minds renewed to that reality. You got to get a hold of it. See, because a lot of people still in their minds Still in their minds, they feel like an enemy of God. In their minds. But thank God we're getting our minds cleansed. We're getting our thinking changed. We're getting our minds to line up to what God says. And notice, he has made us holy and blameless. Now, another scripture over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. A lot of folks, and probably some of you up until tonight, have looked at this scripture as something that's off into the future. After death, you got to die in order to get to this. You got to die to get to this place right here. But notice what it says, Ephesians 5:27. That he might present, there it is again, present. That he might present her, who's her? The church. Read it in the context, most of you know it. The church. That he might present her, the church, that's you, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. When's that going to happen? When's that going to happen? Well, according to Colossians, verse 21, and you who once alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And he tells you right here in Colossians, yet now he has. Yet now he has. Then we come over to Ephesians, that he might present her, the church, you, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Everything Colossians just said that he made you to be now. But you see, we got this thing that, you know, man, you know, God's going to have to, I've heard it so many times, God's going to have to do a lot of work if he's going to come back for a spotless church, if he's going to come back for a church without wrinkle and blemish. Boy, he's got a lot of work to do. No, he's already done it. It's already finished. He's already removed the wrinkles. He's already removed the spots and the blemishes. He's already presented you to himself holy. Holy, above reproach. No longer an enemy of God, but a friend of God. The very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whew. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not going to be in lack for anything because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why I will lack nothing. See, under the first covenant, you know, the Bible tells us over in Hebrews chapter 10. Why don't you go there? Hebrews, the 10th chapter. God had set up a system where people could bring sacrifices to atone for their sins. To atone for their sins means to cover. To cover. Atonement means to cover. But under the new covenant, sins aren't atoned for. They're not covered. They are cleansed from us in Christ Jesus. That's a big difference. So under the old covenant, even though they'd bring these sacrifices and they would come and repent for sin and things like that, they still walked away with a sin consciousness. That's what he talks about here in verse 1, Hebrews the chapter 10. And in verse 1, it says in verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifice which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. Now, we just read about being made perfect without spot or blemish. Here, under the old covenant, the sacrifices they brought every year, it couldn't make them perfect, couldn't make those who approach perfect, which right there, it's already telling us what the sacrifice we have does. You can see where it's going, can't you? He's telling you now the sacrifice they had under the old covenant that they'd bring, the blood of bulls and goats and things like that, that could never perfect those who brought those sacrifices. So that's letting us know right there, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus has perfected us, which we just saw in Colossians and Ephesians. Everybody say perfect. We're talking about righteousness, man. We're talking about being right. Right. Nothing wrong. Nothing missed. No spots, no blemishes, no wrinkles. Perfect. Verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. So these folks, they had sin consciousness. But you could tell, just by reading that right there, he's pointing us now. He's telling us this is what they had under the old covenant. It couldn't make you perfect. And they had a sin consciousness. So we can see what he's setting us up for. Getting ready to talk about the new covenant. Perfect, no more sin consciousness. Perfect, no more sin. You have no more sin consciousness. You don't see yourself as a sinner anymore. You see yourself perfect. You see yourself above reproach. No guilt, no condemnation, no sense of wrong, no sense of inferiority before God or man, no feeling of lack, not having enough, having shortages in your life of things you might need. No, you see yourself perfect, without blemish, righteous. See, folks trip over this because they look in the natural mirror and that's not what they see. But we got to let the mirror of the word, we got to let God define us. And as we're growing in the understanding of these things, when we see things coming out of our lifestyle that do not reflect the righteousness of God, we repent for it and we're not covered, we're cleansed. And we're done with it. It's gone. There's no more reminder of it. We don't think about it. We don't dwell on it. We move on. And that's what he goes on to say. Watch verse 14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Somebody say, I've been perfected. That's what he just said. How did he perfect you? Through one offering. What offering was that? Of his life, his own blood. He gave his own life, he gave his own blood. And in doing that, he perfected you once and for all. So when we forget we're the righteousness of God and act contrary to it, we're still the righteousness of God. We just acted in ignorance of who we are. It didn't change our standing with God. We're still in right standing with God, even when we've missed it. But when we see that we missed it, we don't continue in missing it because we live for righteousness. That's what we live for, and everything else is rubbish. And so we quit that, we give that up, we throw that away that we might walk in this righteousness of God by faith. But just because you stumbled and messed up 7 times, 20 times today, you're still the righteous, you still are in right standing with God. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Why? Because this is the heritage of the children of God, and their righteousness is of me. It's not of their day. It's of me, saith the Lord. So that's why we can just laugh at the devil even when we miss it. We can turn to the devil, and we can just say, devil, don't get excited. It is written. I'm going to quote some word to you, devil. A righteous man may fall 7 times, but he will rise again. He didn't stop being right. He is a righteous man even when he fell, and he can get up again. And no weapon formed against him will prosper. Because people, they get the idea, well, you know, I'm not living right, and I don't know, maybe I did something to deserve it. You're the righteousness of God. People walking around feeling inferior, feeling like, well, maybe I deserve it. Maybe I'm doing something. Maybe I'm not right. That's why I'm probably going to die. See, something's ruling over you. And it's because of your thinking, because you're judging yourself according to the flesh, not according to the spirit. Now, if I've missed it somewhere, Lord, show me. Because I want to know. Because I live for righteousness. By whose stripes I'm healed. See, because I live for right. I might miss that. I'm ignorant of it, but I still live for righteousness. I don't live for whatever that was. I live for righteousness. So therefore, healing is still mine. Protection is still mine. Deliverance is still mine. Now, if I just continue in sin, I just continue to do wrong. I know what's wrong. I justify it and everything. Well, now I'm walking in self-righteousness. Now I'm rejecting the righteousness of God, and I'm not living for righteousness anymore. And if I continue in that, then I'm walking away, and God will let you walk away from his robes of righteousness. He'll let you take those off. He'll let you take his armor off. He'll let you do all that. But I'm not doing that. Are you? No. No. You might have just missed it here and there, but that's not who you are. That does not define you. God's righteousness defines you. That's what defines you. The righteousness of God. Verse 17. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. So we just talked about there's a reminder of sin every year under the old covenant. But under the new covenant, God says, their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. There's no remembrance of it. We're talking about the blood of Jesus. We're talking about this perfect sacrifice that was able to perfect us, purge us from all unrighteousness and make us perfect in the sight of God, that there isn't even a remembrance. I mean, we're talking about total amnesia in God. God, it is so powerful, the sacrifice of Jesus, that God himself says, I don't remember. If he don't remember my sins, I'm not going to remember my sins. I'm sure not going to sit here and rehearse something that he doesn't even remember. I mean, once you confess the thing, it's gone. Don't be trying to pull it back up. It's gone. It's over. A lot of people come in and go, God, I know. And they start saying all this stuff. He's like, what's he talking about? I don't remember any of that. I don't know. Let me go look in the books. Pull the books out, Michael. Let's go see. He's talking about all this junk. I don't remember any of that. Do you remember any of that? No, sir, I don't. Let's look at the book. No, back on that date, I see this blank page. I don't see what he's talking about. It's not there. You know, there was someone that said, now this is getting away from the word, but it agrees with the word. And there was someone that had a vision. They went up to heaven, and there was this huge library of all these books. And angels were coming and taking books, and they were doing things in the books and putting the books back. And the Lord Jesus said, I have a book on every person's life that I have created. And he said, everything, you know, about their life is written in those books. And he saw this one book, and the angel opened it up, and he wiped something with a white cloth, and it turned red, and then everything on the page disappeared. And the Lord showed him, he said, whenever one of my children repent and they regret what they have done and they call on me to forgive them, he says, they wash that right out of the book through the blood of Jesus. And it's remembered no more. Man. Get it out of the book, man. Get it out of the book. It's rubbish. It's not worth hanging on to. There's no rubbish worth hanging on to. We just need to go ahead. If we know we missed it, as we grow in the righteousness of God, we'll become aware of unrighteousness. We'll become aware of things that aren't right. We're right, but then we'll be aware of thinking, speaking, and behavior that's not right. And we can repent of that. And even those things will be washed away and forgotten out of the mind of God and out of our minds. So that today, everyone that's standing here today should be here with absolutely no sense of guilt or shame or a past history of sin or missing it. I don't care if it happened on the way over here. If you know you missed it, you should have repented before you walked in the door. Well, you should have repented by now, at least under your breath a little bit. So God heard you. And it's gone. It is gone. It is gone. There's no sense of guilt. There's no sense of shame. There's no sense of inferiority with God. We're righteous. We're righteous. We're masters of all. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for being righteous in His sight. Absolutely no want, no lack.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.